Does that get it? Nah. Tell you what, this heavy equipment is hard to operate. But anyway, thank you guys. Well, it's a joy to be here, Pastor, and to see all of you here on this Monday night. It has been wet today, but you know, there's always something to be grateful for, because I look toward the north, and some of the folks up there, it's not just wet, but it's slick. And so if we have a choice, I take it. And we didn't have the choice, but I take it anyway. Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe Arthur. That gets me cranking. Gets me ready. And I like that. And I told him we're having this April 24th get-together at the Sword of the Lord Auditorium in Murfreesboro. My sword board decided they wanted to do something kind of in celebration of my 25 years at the sword. And so we're going to have a deal to which all of you invited. All of you are invited. I'm serious. Come down. We're going to have a meet and greet at 5 o'clock. And from 6:30 to about 8:30, we're just going to have singing and preaching and a lot of good music. Lonnie Moore is going to be there, and the Barnes family is going to be there, and Brother Joe is going to be there. And I told him just now, bring that guitar with you. So we're gonna have a good time. But I hope a lot of you come down for that. And if you haven't been to Murfreesboro in a while, if you've never been to the Sword of the Lord, you ought to come down, come early that day and take the tour if you can, of the sword and all the things that are there. Lots of things there that I think you'll find interesting. And if you haven't done it, this will be a good time to do it. But anyway, it's been a joy to be here again. 25 years I've been coming here. And I enjoy it all the time. Been friends with the Russes longer even than that. And to see them now here in this new location and this fabulous piece of property. And yesterday, we had just a tremendous day here yesterday. Good, strong crowds morning and evening. And some of you even came back tonight. So we're glad for that. And God bless you. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I had 17 families sign up to get the paper yesterday. 17 families signed up for the Sword of the Lord. And I'd like to get the rest of you tonight. And what we're doing is, a part of this 25th anniversary celebration, we're pushing for 10,000 subscriptions, either brand new or renew, whatever. that's a chunk to do all at one time, but we're well on our way. And you say, well, not just to help us meet the goal. We want you to get the paper. It'll help you. I don't say that lightly. I believe it'll help you. It'll help your family. It'll help your church. And so I want you to have it. We make it easy for you. The deal is this: put a $20 bill in the envelope. We're going to send you the paper for 2 solid years. That'll be 52 issues. Every other week you're going to get a paper filled up with more stuff than you'll get read. And you may have a choice of any one of the books I've got on the table. I'm telling you, I've sweetened this up just for Evansville. I've never done that much sweetening of it before, but I did it. So anyway, I want you to get signed up tonight before I leave. I got to leave tonight. Brother Joe's going to leave. And he and I are supposed to be in Gulfport together tomorrow night. Gulfport's somewhere off in some other country. Mississippi. He and I both will travel most of the day tomorrow, managing to get there. And then I'll come back home early Wednesday morning and go to Florida for Sunday, down to Ocala. So I got a few little things on the docket. But anyway, I pray that you'll pray for. I ask you to pray for us and pray for what we're doing and the work, the sword. And we appreciate it so very much. 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. I'm going to get rolling here. And in just a little while, Brother Joe Arthur will be up here and we'll have some more music. And pray the Lord to use all that we do tonight in a special way. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, look again at that seventh verse. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, all of us, at the point where we arrive on this planet, we've got a lot to learn. And we learn a lot of things that we don't fully understand. And we run into things. We have situations. We have dilemmas. We have heartaches. We have a lot of things that come to us for which we do not have explanation. We do not have understanding about that. But in this passage, he says, with the Lord's help, understanding can be administered to us. We can have the understanding of things we need to understand, and that can be true in every arena of life, every day that we live, wherever that we live, with whatever difficulties we have, because he says, understanding in all things. The Lord is the answer in all things. And he opens that verse by saying, consider what I say. Now, what has he said? Well, in this very chapter, he tells us that we are several things. First of all, he takes note of the fact that we are a son. We are children of God. We're the sons of God. We get born again. We're admitted to God's family. We are his children. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26. So we are a son. Not only that, but this chapter tells us that we also are a teacher. We get into God's family. We are in possession of information. The Lord gives us understanding of things that we are to communicate and we are to pass along to other people along the way. The next generation coming needs to hear from us. Every one of us are a product of what other people that came along before us poured into us. I think sometimes about all of the people that I owe a debt. I owe my dad, I owe my mother, I owe my grandparents. I owe the lady who taught me to read in the first grade. I owe any number of teachers who poured themselves into me, pastors who invested in me early in my life in ministry. I owe all of them because they were teaching. They understood that they had a responsibility to do that. And you and I gain the things that we gain from those there in the past, and we pour it into those that are coming after us, and verse number 2 tells us that we are a teacher to do that. So consider what I say. What did he say? He said, you're a son, you're a teacher. Then he says, you're also like a soldier. Soldiers sign up. They either get drafted, or they register and volunteer to be in the army. And when they get in the army, what are the first thing they do? They go to boot camp. They get themselves prepared. They don't go rushing off to war the first day. But they get themselves trained and prepared. And then they get an assignment and they head out somewhere to do what the soldier is supposed to be doing. And the Lord has put us into a hostile environment. This world that is spinning out of control, winding down, going nutsoid crazy with every single passing day. All of this is going on. We are living in a hostile environment. And the Lord reminds us that, this is not a picnic. This is a battlefield. And so we are sons and we are teachers and we are like a soldier living in a hostile environment. This passage goes on to say then that we're like an athlete. Now, I know sometimes things get out of hand sports-wise. I'm a basketball fan, college basketball, and I love baseball. And honestly, the only problem with baseball is they just don't pay the guys enough. If they'd pay them more, I know if they just paid them better, they'd do better. But now listen, we'll forget about what the money that they're making. No, nobody does well playing for one of these college basketball teams. Nobody does well playing on a Major League Baseball team if they do not train, they do not prepare themselves, they do not give themselves to the task, they do not show up for the game. There's all kinds of things that you can look at an athlete and say, ah, I need to learn that principle, copy that. And the Lord is telling us here, well, he said, consider what I say. You're a son, you're a teacher, you're a soldier, you're an athlete. And then he uses the illustration of a farmer, talks about the husbandman. That's an agricultural worker, a farmer. You say, what is the deal with these farmers? Well, you know how it is with a farmer. You know, everybody else works from sun to sun, but a farmer's work's never done. Now, that's a kind of a funny little cliche, but honestly, some of us who grew up on the farm, we understand what farming's about. You know, you do a couple of hours of chores in the morning before you start the work. You get in after the work, when the sun goes down, you still got your chores to do. Farming is, I mean, it is a big, big job, and it's productive. I mean, some of you had a glass of milk this morning because some farmer did his work, you know. And others of us, I mean, we ate today because somebody planted the veggies and somebody killed the beef or killed the pork or whatever the case. Thank God for the farmer. And we're reminded that as the sons and daughters of God, we have responsibilities to sow the seed and work in the harvest fields. I mean, again, the illustration is great. And you go on down through this chapter, he also tells us we're a student. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. It also tells us that we're like a vessel. In every great house, he said, there are vessels of gold and silver and wood and so on and so forth. And every one of us need to find the spot that we can serve in. I was recently guest in a home for a few hours for an event. It was a massive, massive 8-bathroom home. Just walked around and looked at the furnishings, much of which had been imported from Portugal or China or someplace. Very, very expensive things. And I looked around at all of that. And I could not but help but think about this passage and be reminded that in God's economy and God's family, there are vessels of gold and vessels of silver and some that are carved out of wood. I mean, we're all God's workmanship. Amen. Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So yes, we're like a vessel. And then finally, this chapter says that we are a servant of the Lord. So a son, yes. A teacher, yes. A soldier, yes. A farmer, yes. An athlete, yes. A student, yes. A vessel, yes. And a servant, yes. Plug us in. Give us a spot. Let us serve. Now, all of this because God has entrusted some things to us. He has entrusted us with a ministry of repentance. That's a good word, a Bible word. And all of us, born sinners that we are, we need to get a rework on our mind. We need to get a remake on our mind. Here we go, and we need to make a U-turn in that regard. God has committed that ministry to us, so that we can say to somebody else who has headed down the wrong road, they're headed down the wrong path, but we can announce loudly over the sound system, we can say, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. God's committed that ministry to us. People walk through these doors. Our message is not, oh, just be who you are. Our message is there's something you need to be and somebody you need to become that you are not now, but you can be with God's help. And so we have that ministry of repentance, and we have a ministry also of regeneration. When you come to Christ, you're not just entering into reformation. You're not just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Mm-mm. No. Regeneration means that you get a new life. A new nature gets implanted in you that you did not have before. And that ministry has been committed to us. Somebody walks through these doors, We're not going to tell them, well, hey, just do the best you can. No, we want them to have the best that God can give to them. So God is committed to us. I mean, after all, we're his sons. We're a teacher. We're a soldier, a farmer, an athlete, a student, a vessel, a servant. That's who we are. And we have the ministry of repentance and regeneration and the ministry of reconciliation, the Bible says. A lot of things get crazy crossways. People get crossways with each other. What a joy it is to see parents and children that have been sideways with each other get right. People maybe even in the church that have not been at one with each other, they get reconciled. Hey, we get reconciled to God, we can straighten out whatever mess we've got into with somebody else. Big deal we've got is getting reconciled to God. Not only that, but we've been commissioned with a ministry of restoration. Restoration, getting things put back like it ought to be put back. Betty and I were driving down the street. She was driving. I was sitting in the passenger side. See these boys walking along the sidewalk. There's a dry cleaner's there. They've got an open window and got some little stuffed animals in the window. Just about the time that we, just before we got to those boys, I saw one of them grab a couple of those stuffed animals and run. Well, we were running 25, 30 miles an hour, so we went right on by him. I told Betty, I said, stop. She stopped. I flung the door open, stood out like Matt Dillon ready to draw on him. That kid was running right toward me, those stuffed animals, and I pointed at him and I said, stop! You know what he did? He stopped. And I said to him, put it back! Very slowly he turned around and walked back over there and put it back on the window. He turned and looked at me and I said, now come here. Came down there, kid, he's about 13 years old. And I motioned for his buddy to come over there, and I said, now look, I said, you just made a bad mistake. And I said, I want you to look right here, because I said, I'm the best friend you got. Because I said, you keep doing that kind of stuff, and you're going to be in jail. And you know what? Just a simple little illustration. Things get out of whack, it can be restored. What do? You just got to put it back. You tear something down, build it up again. And the ministry that we have, I mean the sons of God, the teacher, the soldier, the farmer, the athlete, the student, the vessel, the servant. I mean, we're into repentance, into regeneration, into reconciliation, into restoration. We're into rescue. Amen. Oh, broken down sinners. We got them all over our city. Packing their little bags on their backs. Sleeping under the bridge, sleeping on a little old creek that runs near the sword offices, whole village of them down there. They got their little old tents and stuff all along that little old creek. Two or three times in recent months, one of them's jumped in front of the train, killed themselves. Just crazy things, crazy things. You say, who are those people? They're somebody's daughter, somebody's son. Somebody's grandchild, somebody's cousin. And you and I have the precious privilege to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. We've been commissioned to do that. We have that ministry of rescue. We have a ministry of right. You know, I'm amazed at how many people, it's like, well, don't tell me, hey, listen, right's right, wrong's wrong. If it's wrong, somebody needs to sound the alarm. If it's right, somebody needs to trumpet that message and say that it's right. And you and I have that privilege to walk into our Sunday school class or run our bus route or stand in this pulpit and announce the things that are right. Are you opposed to some stuff? Oh, we're opposed to a lot of things. But we're for a lot of things, too. That ministry of right. We have a ministry of revival. I mentioned last night, and I mentioned again, we were talking about what was going on here yesterday, and I told them the word that came to my mind was electric. electrifying. Well, I'm telling you, we've got churches, and I'm talking about fundamental church, independent Baptist churches, that the electricity's not on. The power's off. There's a deadness that has settled on the place. Somebody strap on a microphone and get excited, it would shake them up. God help us to know we need to stir it. We need revival. We need the stirring of God's people by the Spirit of God. There needs to be a working of the Word of God within the human heart. We have a ministry of readiness, getting people ready for heaven. Just prepping people for heaven. You're not going to live forever. Everybody lives. Who lives is going to die someday unless the trumpet sounds. We need to prep for heaven. Tell people how to get there. Tell them about Jesus. We have a ministry related to the rapture. I'm amazed at how many people, they just kind of drop their head when you raise the rapture issue. Well, hey, the Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Like the Bible says, in the next verse, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It doesn't say confuse one another. It says comfort one another. Meaning to encourage one another. And we have a ministry of rejoicing. You know, I don't think you have a club like this at Faithway, but some of our churches have got a grunt, growl, and groan club. And a bunch of folks who are charter members. Hey, listen, folks, I'm telling you, the Bible says rejoice evermore. Another passage says rejoice, and again I say rejoice. You know, now, we have all of that committed to us who have the status of sons and being the teacher and the soldier and the farmer and the athlete and the student and the vessel and the servant. You say, well, how are we going to do that? Well, remember Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. 6:33 in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you put first things first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be taken care of. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. We are accountable unto God to be salt, to be light, to put first things first, and remembering all the while that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians 2:10, and we're to be an example of the believers, 1 Timothy 4:12, and in doing so, that fits us for the task of being the ambassadors of the Savior that we're supposed to be, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now, being that, you and I go about the business, endure the hardness, this chapter tells us, endure the hardness, and do the work. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy says, do the work of an evangelist. Listen, we have a big job on our hands, big job. Nothing in Evansville going on is any more important than what goes on right here at Faithway Baptist Church. Nothing. City Hall is, it's like the minor leagues compared to what's going on at Faithway. Now, and I know we have to have government. We got far too much of it. But we have to have a little bit. And I'm for a little bit. But it's not the big deal. The big deal is when you and I discover that the Lord God Almighty has made us his children. He has assigned us to be a teacher. He's asked us to be his soldier. He's asked us to be like an athlete, be like a farmer, be a student, be a vessel, be a servant, and go out there and spread the salt and spread the light and put first things first, be his ambassador, get the word out, do the work of it. I'm telling you, it's big stuff. It's big stuff. And whether you're running a bus route or just going out and canvassing a neighborhood, knocking on doors, or sitting around Wendy's or McDonald's, eating on a burger, talking to people, that's who we are. That's what we're about. There are people up and down these streets that are sitting at home tonight sipping on a Budweiser or something. They'll have a headache in the morning. Some of them will be so drunk by the time midnight comes, they won't be able to go to work tomorrow because they don't have a clue what we're into. They don't have a clue what this is all about. You say, what needs to happen? Repentance, regeneration, reconciliation, restoration, rescue, right? I mean, all of that. You say, what are we going to be doing next week? Repentance, regeneration, reconciliation, restoration, rescue, right, revival, readiness, rapture, rejoicing. What about the sports banquet? Yep, same thing. Well, what about vacation Bible school? Or what about the revival meeting? What, all of that. I mean, over and over again, 52 weeks out of the year. I mean, we're just keeping both oars in the water. Somebody asked me last week a question in the midst of a little dab of struggle. Somebody asked me how I was doing, and I said, listen, I am just happy to be on the boat and in the battle. Amen. Just happy to be on the boat and in the battle. And I'm telling you, I read a passage like this, and I say it's amazing that the Lord lets a little short guy like me be in on what he's doing. And I'm telling you, I'm thankful for it. You say, what are you doing up there with that microphone tonight? I just want to be a little bit of encouragement to you. A little bit of encouragement. Don't let somebody throw you. Don't let somebody discourage you. Don't let somebody take your song away. Don't let somebody get under your skin. You say, well, something went terribly wrong. What am I supposed to do? 10 o'clock Sunday school. 11 o'clock church, 6 o'clock Sunday night. You say, well, somebody at church wasn't nice to me. What am I supposed to do? Be in Sunday school. Amen. Have your tithe made out. Go soul winning on Saturday. You say, even when something's gone wrong and I'm down in the valley, yep, then of all times, don't give up just because things get crossways. Stay at it. Be a son. Be a teacher. Be a soldier. Be an athlete. Be a farmer. Be the student. Be the vessel. Be the servant. God help us. Dear Lord, thank you for your blessing.